1 Samuel chapter 15 is where we begin our study today in verse 22. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a little recap here. Saul the king had been commanded by God to destroy the Amalekites because they were so wicked. Completely destroy them. He disobeyed. He kept some of the best stuff for himself, and he did not destroy the king either. Well, Samuel comes and talks to Saul the king and rebukes him for his disobedience. Saul had said, well, we kept the good stuff to sacrifice to the Lord, and we didn't kill the king. And Samuel responds to that in verse 22. He said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. A relationship with us is more important to God than a gift from us. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. A person who obeys God because the Lord is important to him is better than a person who thinks that they can make up for their indifference toward God with an offering. God does not appreciate being paid off. He wants a relationship with us. 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. In other words, willful disobedience, a willingness to ignore God's will, is idolatry to God. People might not call it this, but it is self-worship. Last part of verse 23. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. God raised Saul up, and now God set Saul aside. He would not follow God, so he is not fit to lead man. He will no longer be king. And if a person doesn't submit to God, they are not qualified to lead people. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You know, like I said last time, it was like pulling teeth. But Saul finally, at last, admits his sin. Of course, his confession had to be forced out of him. You're going to lose your kingdom, Saul. Well, okay, then I'm guilty. He confessed, but there's no change of heart in this man. Confessing because you've been caught doesn't automatically mean that there's repentance there, and there wasn't in this man's case, as we will see. 25. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord. Saul is talking to the wrong person when he says, Samuel, pardon my sin. He needs to be asking God for forgiveness, not Samuel. Some sins are against people, and they should be apologized for, but all sins are against God, and should be confessed to him. 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Notice, you have rejected God, Saul. You've rejected him. In other words, no excuses. You sinned because you chose to sin. Sin is willful rejection of God's command. Verse 27. And Samuel, as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. So Saul grabbed Samuel by his robe as Samuel turned to walk away. Saul grabbed Samuel because he knew that he could not afford to lose him. If Saul loses the support of Samuel, the prophet that everybody respected, he knows he will lose the support of the people as well. So Saul isn't really concerned about how he offended God. He is concerned about his own reputation. 28. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine, who is better than thou. What an insult. Saul will have the kingdom taken away from him and given to someone better, says God. I would hate to have that. I would hate to have God say that to me. Mike, I had an assignment for you, but I'm going to give it to someone who loves me more than you do. 29. And also the strength of Israel will not lie or repent. I love that title of God. He is called the strength of Israel. The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Sometimes people do not do what they say they will. They do not do what they said they were going to do. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes it's because they are fickle. And sometimes maybe they're tired or sick. And sometimes the unexpected happens and they can't do what they said they would do. But think of this. None of those things apply to God ever. He makes a promise, and he makes sure that everything in heaven and on earth works together to make that promise happen. 30. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. This man, Saul, was backed into a corner, and he was forced to admit that he sinned. But he's not sorry, and he has not repented. Repenting sinners do not ask for honor. That is the last thing on their mind. 31. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. And I don't know why Samuel turned back and went along with Saul to make everything look good. He must have had the best interest of the country in mind, because otherwise, he had no business propping up that self-centered, impenitent sinner, Saul. You cater to sinners who will not repent, and you just make them worse. 32. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him cautiously. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. Smart aleck. King Agag thought he got away with his evil. Some people do not care about the evil they have done. They just want to get away with the evil that they have done. Agag, since Saul did not kill him, thought he got away with his evil. Look at 33. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Sooner or later, a person will harvest what they plant. You plant tomatoes, you're going to be picking tomatoes. You plant hurt in the lives of others, God will see that you are hurting someday. No one beats the system. That's what this is all about. This is a lesson. No one beats the system. Agag, horrible, torturing person. He reaped what he sowed. 34. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house, to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Saul never did listen to Samuel's commands. So now Samuel shuns him and doesn't even attempt to advise him anymore. Because eventually, if a person does not repent, God quits striving with them and gives them what they want. Just go with it then. It's all a part of his judgment. Notice 35 again. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul was a wicked man. And yet Samuel mourned over God's judgment of Saul. He was sad, but he did not let his sadness cause him to coddle Saul. Never let sadness over the punishment of sinners cause you to coddle them. Chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? You know, there comes a point where we have to stop mourning over those who have received their just punishment from God. It is important to accept God's decision and recognize that those who do not repent deserve everything they've got coming, no matter who they are, no matter how close to us they may have been. And we have to recognize that God is glorified even in the righteous punishment that he dishes out. Not be happy about it, but recognize that God is just. Last part of verse 1. Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. God says, Go to Bethlehem and anoint one of the sons of Jesse, the next king. Samuel says, How can I do that? Saul finds out that I'm anointing a new king. He's going to kill me. Even good men and women of God have their weak moments when their faith may waver. Samuel is having one of those moments right here. But he should know that if God is sending him, then God will protect him. Verse 2. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with thee, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. God did not command Samuel to lie or deceive. He commanded him to offer a sacrifice at the home of Jesse and his sons. And once he commanded Samuel to sacrifice, it becomes the right thing to do, and it's no deception for him to do it, even though he's going to be, you know, finding a king among his sons also. And God is simply doing what he often does, and that is more than one thing at a time. Verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? Because Samuel was God's prophet, the representatives of the people of Bethlehem are intimidated and guilt-stricken when he arrives in town. They know they're going to hear the word of God. They had a holy respect for God's word, and that is what the prophet spoke, so they were trembling. And when we open God's word, it should be with reverence and respect, because Almighty God is about to speak. Verse 5. And he said, Peaceably I have come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. Now, Samuel, he invites people to join in the sacrifices, but these people, they must first consecrate or purify themselves before they can sacrifice to God. And it's the same today. Before we can offer up spiritual sacrifices, devotion pleasing to God, Christians must purify themselves through repentance and confession of all known sin, because it is a waste of time. It is hypocrisy to try to worship God with unconfessed sins in our life. 6. And it came to pass, when they had come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Samuel took one look, and that was enough to sell him on the idea that Eliab was God's man to be king. Samuel was dead wrong. It wasn't Eliab, but he looked good. So he thought for sure he was the right choice. Just proves that no matter how close we have been walking with God in the past, we must still seek him in prayer over issues in the present. 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. A steak can look good sitting on your plate, but you never know. It might be tough. You cannot judge the steak until you take the first bite. And it's the same with people. Some people look good and sound good at first, but it is unwise to trust a person until you have observed their character. Verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Jesse and his 7 oldest sons didn't even think, they didn't think the youngest son, David, was worth even inviting to this sacrifice. Yeah, he's just David. Stay out there with the sheep, David. This kind of stuff doesn't concern you. This is important stuff. And all the while, David was God's man. You know, David, we're going to see this in the future too. He had to get away from his brothers. And he had to get away from his father. And he had to get away from his home. Because since he was the youngest, they were really stifling him and what God had for him. And sometimes, a person just has to get away and start fresh. Verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and altogether of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. David was not tall like Saul, and he was not royal looking like Saul, but David looked good in his own way. 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And along with the Spirit of the Lord that came on David, David was fully equipped to do the work of a godly king. Just like Saul had been when he was first anointed. And God has a plan for every Christian, and the Holy Spirit is the engine, is the fuel that enables us to do that. And notice verse 14, But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Saul lost that engine. He ran out of gas. Any good qualities and any worth Saul had are now gone along with the Holy Spirit. He is a shell of a man. The Holy Spirit that he disobeyed continually has now left him. See, the Bible does say that God does not strive with sinful man forever. Last part of verse 14, And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. The Holy Spirit left, evil spirit moved right in, because just as nature abhors a vacuum, so does the spiritual realm. And if a person will not let the Holy Spirit rule them, then Satan will move in to influence them. I don't care if we're a Christian or a non-Christian. I'm not talking about being possessed. Saul gave Satan a foothold in his life through continual disobedience and a refusal to repent. As a result, demons have moved in and they are now tormenting him. 15. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Boy, that was a rough thing to tell your boss. But it was true. an evil spirit really was tormenting Saul, and God really was against Saul. But Saul, he never really did care about God. So, although I'm sure he doesn't like being uncomfortable, the fact that God is against him, that doesn't really matter to him. 16. Let our Lord now command thy servants, who are before thee, to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Now, Saul's servants say, you're feeling rotten because of this demon. Saul, let's bring somebody who can play music, you'll feel better. And it would have been better to tell Saul to repent. Because if he repents, he doesn't need the music to make him feel better, because the evil spirit would leave and the Holy Spirit would return. But instead of telling him to repent, get at the heart of the issue here, they said, we'll play some music. Well, that's just spiritual patchwork at best. Just a quick temporary fix, and that is no substitute for repentance and a solid walk with God. Never is. 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. The general public did not know that David was filled with the Holy Spirit. But anyone with discernment could see the effects of the Holy Spirit on him. They could see that. Because David was talented, he was strong, he was a man of good character, good judgment. And so people are starting to notice this unknown shepherd. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be usable. Someone will want us for something. Verse 19. Therefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, send me David thy son, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And so from the very first time Saul met David, he admired David. David was a hard-working, likable guy who did not mind serving. You couldn't help but like David, unless maybe you were jealous of his popularity. If we simply serve God by being a decent, honest, hard-working person who is willing to serve others, we will be appreciated, at least by some. And more important, God will be honored through us. 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. Normally a king, especially a king like Saul, would not request anything. He would simply demand it. But David reflected well on his father. Even Saul could not help but respect the man who molded a young man like David. Verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Music sure is powerful. Unfortunately, much of it is used by Satan to influence people for evil. But good Christian music, well, I can do great things. God-centered music can calm us down when we are stressed out, and it can also open up the lines of communication between God's people and God. Next time, chapter 17. Until then, so long, everyone.